Hello then. All right, my name's Alan. As we just said, my name's Alan Smythe. I've been coming here now for about 13 months, and I've now joined the family of St John's, together with Cynthia, Dennis and myself. And we've been known as the Tunbridge Four. You know, people say, oh, there they are again, it's the Tunbridge Four. You know, so that's it. All right, let's just turn to the Word of God, shall we? And reading from John chapter 16. John chapter 3, verse. I was thinking of verse 16, which I'll be talking about later on. Right, we're reading from 1 to 20. Now there was a named. Alright. You can take that away from me.
Just leave it.
Alright. Okay. Right. Now there was a name, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruler's council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform miraculous signs like you doing. God, if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again.
It's no phone on, is it?
No, no. Sorry about this, folks. All right, I'll try again. Okay. Yeah. And that, how can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born? And Jesus answered, I'll tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases, and you hear its sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and how do you not understand these things? I'll tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that its deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Hello. We're here again. You're okay. Right, okay then. I just wanted to tell you a little bit about myself and in a way of a testimony, you know, to what God has done for me. And first of all, I was born in Northern Ireland. And some people say, well, you was born in Northern Ireland. Why haven't you got the Irish accent? Well, the reason for that being was because I come to this country when I was a year and 9 months. So I wouldn't have had an Irish accent. My dad kept his accent while he was over here because of his job. He was a customs officer. And he came over with his job, and I've been here ever since. I was born at Portsdown. And I was born, I think my grandfather was named Thomas, Thomas Livingston, and I was named Thomas Allen Smythe. And a bit of confusion with some people, because my official name is Thomas Allen, and I put on the emails Thomas, you know, and they said, what's that then? You're known as Allen. But because they didn't want two Toms, they thought they'll call me Allen. But because I come from Ireland, it seems to be an Irish thing that they do. You know, so that's where I come from. And I've got three uncles. Two have passed away and one is still alive. And one of them was a lay preacher. Another one used to hold evangelistic services. And the other one was a canon in the Church of Ireland. So, you know, that's part of my background. My mum was a Christian. But unfortunately my dad wasn't. But I never know, you know, at his last moments, he knew the way, but he never committed himself to the Lord, you know. So I don't know whether he did at the last moments of when he passed away, because it was quite sudden. So that's possible. Anyway, so that's a little bit of my background. But the thing is that when I was about 10 years old, well, I was at a gospel service with my mum. And there was a preacher, so I was quite young, really. I was a child, and then they put, when he preached, I can't remember what he preached about, but it was a gospel message to me. And he put down an appeal and said, does anyone want to know Jesus and wants to be saved? Put your hands up. And my mum was next to me, because she didn't nudge me. So I put my hand up, and then he went out the front, and I gave my life to Jesus, you know. And then a year later, when I was 11 years old, I was baptised by immersion, and really I've gone on from then. But as time goes on, you know, I fell away from the Lord, you know, and I didn't follow him as I should have done. As I become a teenager, started work, having time with these people on the floor, and you know, in the factory, how the language, what sort of language they speak, you know. And I sort of joined in a little bit with that then, and I just drifted away, and I didn't go to church or anything of that nature. And I thought to myself, well, you know, this is the way it is. Hang on a minute. This keeps falling away from me. That's it. and then I think it was about 16, and there was a gospel hall just down from where I lived, and there was a preacher come to preach, and he was preaching a gospel message. It was an evangelistic service, so I went along. I can almost remember it. I just sat at the back, and there I was, you know, listening to this message. But this guy, his name was Morrison. I can't remember his first name, but his name was Morrison, and I can always remember him speaking. And I thought, my goodness, I don't know this guy, and he doesn't know me, but he seemed to be speaking directly at me, you know. And of course, I thought, oh, this is really strange, but it was God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to me, you know. And then he put an appeal out, and of course, I was sweating at that time. And my hand gradually sort of went up when he said, put your hands up if you want to come back to the Lord or you want to be saved. You know, so my hand gradually went up, and up it went, you know. And then, I went out the front, and I asked the Lord to forgive me, and he prayed for me. And from that moment onwards, I've been following Jesus. And I just love this life Jesus has for me. You know, and all the promises he's given to me. And I just enjoy just being a Christian. although we go through hard and difficult times, but I know that God, by His Holy Spirit, is with me and walks with me through it. You know, so that's my testimony. And when I went back to work the next day, because I tried a little bit, smoked a little, not much, I didn't inhale it, but I just tried a little bit of it, you know. And then when I got home, I got a packet of cigarettes and I threw them in the fire, and my whole life changed. You know, I didn't use bad language or anything like that when I went to work. And nowadays, when I was in the factory floor, if they swore in front of me, they used to say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you shouldn't have said that," you know, because they knew who I was and I didn't like swearing, you know. And when I talked to the guys that were there, because I just said how Jesus changed my life, and they turned back and said, "You're a hypocrite, it'll never last." And I thought, oh, okay, well, here I am 60 years later and more. You know, I'm still here by the grace of God, you know, and God has kept me all those years. So that is my testimony, and I'll just leave that with you. But I'm going on from my testimony just to give you a little talk of who we are and what we expect and the promises of God and the journey of life, really, you know, when we're Christians. And it's so different, and it's given us a real purpose in life. So I'll just have a little break there while I've got Kay and Dennis to just pass these little, what they're called, bookmarkers. So it's just for reference. If you ever want to refer back to these scriptures and promises of God, you can put them in your book you're reading, or beside your bed, or hang them up in the kitchen. It's just to refer to, especially if you're feeling you're going through the rough weather. All right, okay. Right, okay. Has everyone got one? Yeah? I thought I'd do that now, because if you give them out beforehand, you'll unpack what I'm going to say before I say it. So I thought you can follow it through and keep that for yourselves, you know, and take it home with you. Okay. Our hope comes from our trust in God, the reliability of His character, and the promise that He has made. Hope in God is not wishful thinking, but a confidence, expectant, and assured trust in His promises, goodness and faithfulness. It acts as a spiritual anchor, anchoring the soul during adversity, and is rooted in the belief that God will fulfill His words. Right, now, that hope, as I say, hope gives us assurance. Now, I hope this all works. Yes? That's it? Okay. That's insurance, but hope gives us assurance. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says there, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Trusting God with the future reminds us that God's plans for us is good. God's plans for us is good. I might emphasize some things I'd like you to really take hold of. And His promise of future hope is eternal. The way will not always be easy, because He doesn't promise a bed of roses when we become a Christian. But God will always be beside us, helping us along the way on our personal journey with Him. God promises that you, that He has your future in His hands. Isn't that beautiful? You know, your future belongs to God, and it's in His hands. And He's got plans for each and every one of you. All those that belong to Jesus and have become His child, He's got plans for you. And some people think, well, what's the purpose of being here? You know, but when we become Christians, we've got a purpose. And things might come that will try to harm us. But God's got a plan for us, and He's always with us. You know, I was just thinking a few weeks ago when things were getting on top of me. Do you know when things go wrong? And then you think to myself, oh, why did this have to happen? You know, and you sort of, you carry it on your shoulders and you get a bit low. We still can be like that, can't we, at times? But I just went out for a walk and I said to Kay, I'm just going out for a walk down by the river, and there's a little stream and a little waterfall along the river. And so I just stood there and I said to the Lord, Lord, what is this all about? I don't understand it and understand it, because it's going through a very difficult time at the moment and things are coming my way. And I said to the Lord, I said, but Lord, you know all things. You are God. And I give it to you. I said, it's out of my control. I'm going to give it to you, Lord. And you know, when I said those words, it was like the burden had lifted. And I felt I was like walking on air again, you know. Because the Lord has got broad shoulders. And what does it say in the Word? It says, cast your cares onto me. Why? Because he cares for you. Because he loves you. And God's got everything for you. Okay, let's... move on. Hope gives us confidence. That's trust, isn't it? Eh? You know, when the trapeze artists, they've got to trust each other that hopefully he will catch me and he won't let me go, you know, and trust gives us confidence. Now, if we look at Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is confident in what we hope for and an assurance of what we do not see. This defines faith as confidence and assurance that what God has promised for the future is true. Faith is trusting God's character and promises rather than blind hope. It serves as a foundation for living with hope and trust, enabling believers like you and me who believe, live confidently despite uncertainty. Because in this world, it is uncertain. There's wars and things going on. And you think, oh dear, what's going to happen now? But in God, we have confidence and certainty that he's got everything under control. And we are in his plan and purpose. Okay. Next one is? Hope of eternal life. In John 11, verses 25-26, it said, Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will, even though he die, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Hey, if we believe in Jesus, we will never die. Because when we pass from this life, and we are passing through, because it's not our eternal home. We're passing through this life in God and we're serving God while we're here. But he's got eternal purpose that when we pass on, and when he comes back for his church, we're going to live with him for eternity. That is beautiful, isn't it? This was at the time when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. This powerful statement from Jesus holds a profound meaning that speaks to the core of Christian faith. Jesus, by declaring himself as a resurrection and a life, asserts his divine nature and offers a message of hope and salvation to his followers. Believers can have eternal life through Jesus' sacrifice and victory over death, which is the central message of Christianity. That through faith in Jesus, believers can find redemption, forgiveness, and the promises of eternal life in the presence of God. How marvellous is that? The promise of eternal life. We're going to be living with Jesus forever and ever and ever. There'll be no end. And we'll be in his presence. There'll be no more tears, no more heartaches. We'll just enjoy God. And some people try to imagine what heaven will be like. Whatever you imagine is going to be far greater. Why? Because God is creating a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to live in that. And we're just going to live in the light of his presence. You know, forever and ever and ever. That always, because we live in a time-space world, I think, how can we live on forever and ever and ever? Because things come to an end, don't they? You know, but then I think of a ring. There's no beginning, there's no end. And that's God. There's no beginning and there's no end. Because he's there forever and ever and for eternity. So that's wonderful, you know. So let your hearts not be troubled. Because you believe in God, believe also in me. You know, and as Thomas said, well, how can we know the way, Lord? And Jesus answered him and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. So the way to get to heaven is through Jesus. And to ask Jesus forgiveness and say, I'm sorry the way I've been, but I now want to follow you. And that is a way to get to heaven. So there's only one way to heaven. There's not a few ways. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's through Jesus. So that's a wonderful promise we have in him. Right, let's... Jesus is our hope. Now, do you believe Jesus is alive?
Yes.
Do you believe Jesus is alive?
Yes.
Yes, that's it, yeah. And you believe that, and he is our hope. And Jesus is our resurrection and hope. In 1 Timothy 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul then addresses Timothy as his true child in the faith, indicating a close and nurturing relationship between them. Timothy was a young disciple whom Paul had taken under his wing and mentored in his faith. This relationship is important through the New Testament, as Timothy is mentioned in several of Paul's letters and was trusted with important tasks within the early church. Now the greeting that follows is grace, mercy and peace from God, the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a common greeting Paul uses in his letters. Here Paul wishes Timothy to experience the unmerited favour, which is the grace of God, compassion and forgiveness, which is mercy, and an inner peace that come from God the Father and Christ Jesus. This highlights the importance of receiving these gifts from God to empower and sustain believers in their faith journey. How are we getting on with our faith journey in him? Because it is a journey. Do you believe that? It's a journey. We're always learning, aren't we? As we go on in God, it's a faith journey. And we trust and believe in him. And it continues to believe, trust in him until he comes again, isn't it? You know, so we're in the Lord's army, aren't we? And we've got a purpose. On to the next one. Are you all with me on this? Yeah? You're getting hold of what I'm saying. Hope gives us encouragement. Right. In Romans 5, verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Our Christian hope shines from the eternal flame of God's burning love for us and does not rest on the flickering candlelight of our love for him. Christian hope is an ever-flowing fountain of the unfathomable love of God, cascading into our hearts and washing through our lives. Christian hope is the highest expression of glorifying God, for it springs from a trusting heart that believes God's word of truth by faith. You know, so that's... Now, finally, in Hebrews 6, verse 29, it says, we have this hope. Have I written that? Yes, sir. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, steadfast, firm, and secure in the Saviour's love. Now, we sung this hymn earlier on, and it says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded, firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Eh? Are you glad today that you belong to God and you're a Christian and you're following Him? What a life it is. It's a life of excitement, a life to be really hunkered after. And, you know, as time goes on, I hunger more and more for God, you know. I just love what He is doing. Even though I have difficult times, I'm learning to give it to God. It's taken a long time to learn this, but you learn, don't you, as you go on in life. And you give it to God. And it just lifts the burden that's on you. You don't have to carry it. Isn't that tremendous? That's good news, isn't it? You know, and our good news is that we're going to be with Him forever. So His love is greater than the deepest ocean, isn't it? You know, He's got wonderful love for each and every one of us, for those that believe Him. And we are now called the children of God. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alan, very much indeed. Straight from the heart. And very, very true. That lovely question, how are you getting on with your faith journey? It's quite a challenging question, isn't it? It's a very good one. How are we getting on? It starts with putting our trust in Jesus, which is what Alan shared with us, and he's right. And it works by going on living every day with Him. We give our life to God, and we keep giving our life to God. Today is yours, tomorrow is yours, and all our days are His. So thank you, Alan. Thank you too for preparing these lovely bookmarks. They're beautiful verses on here. Please take one home. If you haven't got one and you'd like one, well, you can either borrow one off of somebody else who has got one, or I'm sure we could get a few more made for you if that would be helpful. But thank you for that thoughtfulness too. And find somewhere to use this bookmark. Tuck it in your Bible, as was said earlier, or keep it by the bed or wherever you sit. And look at these wonderful promises from God. It's not about our promises, it's about His and the kind of God He is and the Saviour that He is and the Rescuer and that amazing friend for life. Let me just finish with a prayer. Loving Lord Jesus, perhaps the biggest thing we can say is thank you. Thank you for giving us and for being our Saviour. And for giving us your eternal life through faith in you. We pray that each person here this morning will know what it is to have put their life in your hands, to be living for you, trusting you, following you. And for those of us perhaps who've done that for many years, Lord, keep us strong, keep us holding on to these lovely promises and knowing that at the very end you are still there. And you will be with us not only through every day of this life, but of all eternity to come. Thank you that you are our anchor of hope. In Jesus' name. Amen.